Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grüns is designed to simplify that. Grüns is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention. Vitamins at 100% daily value and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grüns ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grüns is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Texas is considered pretty colorful. People don't want to admit this, but everybody owns at least 10 or 15 guns, men and women. And we spend most of our time either getting born again, committing minor misdemeanors, or killing each other. That's just simply what we do. My name is Jim Skelton. I'm a criminal lawyer, and I've been practicing law here in Texas for well over 30 years. I've seen a lot of cases and met a lot of strange people. But I've got to say, this case involving the Angletons is one of the most bizarre cases I've ever worked on. This case involved the murder of a lady named Doris Angleton. She was married to a man by the name of Bob Angleton, who was quite well off, had quite a bit of money. And outwardly, she had what you would call a perfect life. They lived in a real nice area of Houston called River Oaks. It's where all the old money people live, where all the young people wanted to move to. She was an attractive, pretty woman. She had 2 twin daughters, was a devoted mother.
My mom was the most beautiful person you could ever imagine.
She was just so much fun.
Well-liked, had no enemies in the world that anybody knew of. Then one afternoon she goes home during a softball game.
She went home to like change.
In the third inning, she wasn't there. So we called and no one answered.
And she shot something like 13 times in her own home in the heart of River Oaks in the heart of Houston. One of the crucial pieces of evidence uncovered in this particular case was an audio tape. On the audio tape were 2 men discussing the details of this murder and laying out what happened.
You're waiting. She comes in. Right?
Yes.
You're here.
Right.
These were 2 people plotting the death of Doris Angleton, Roger and Bob Angleton.
The first person arrested in this murder was Roger Angleton, as Bob Angleton's older brother. After Roger was arrested, sometime later, Bob Angleton was arrested.
He's not a killer.
What's really strange about this case, what makes it so interesting, is both of them had evidence incriminating each other that they kept. Roger made sure they had evidence incriminating Bob. And on the other side, Bob made sure he had evidence incriminating Roger. If you knew both of them had been around either one of them very long, none of that would surprise you. And they neither one trusted each other. What's ironic about this whole case is that both of them came up with a scheme to get out of this murder case. And to this day, nobody has served any time in the penitentiary for the murder of Doris Angleton.
Texas Confidential.
No, it's not hard to remember her. I remember really specific things. Like, every morning we would wake up to her laughing, and she had an incredible laugh, like, like, really, really loud, but really, like, vibrant. I don't know, it just made you want to get up and go downstairs and be like, what's going on, you know?
Nikki and Allie Angleton were 12 when their mother, Doris, was murdered in 1997.
We've gone through way more than most kids have gone through.
I miss her. I remember how it was. I sure like to have that way back again.
And then, 4 months after the twins lost one parent, they lost the other. On their 13th birthday, their father, Bob, was taken away from them, too. Arrested for killing their 46-year-old mother.
Did you understand what the charges were against your father? That it was
first-degree
murder?
Nothing was ever really explained to us very well.
Nikki and Allie say they have never believed the charges are true.
Daddy! Well, I mean, if you knew my dad, then you would know. I just know.
I know him, and he didn't do it. And that's just the bottom line. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, really.
Nikki and Allie Angleton were just 15 when we started interviewing them for this story. We've been checking in with them through the years, and now, almost 10 years after the murder, the twins are in their 20s and college educated. But this story is still not over for them or their father. In the beginning, the question was, who killed Doris Angleton and why? Now it's not so much who did it as it is how to prove it, and how many times will Bob Angleton have to stand trial for it?
You don't believe it's going to happen to you if you're not guilty.
Bob Angleton has always maintained his innocence. He spent one full year in jail waiting for his trial.
You imagine when your children come and visit you when you're in jail, you have to put on an air of everything being okay and that it'll work out because they're still counting on you.
In July of 1998, more than a year after the murder, the trial finally got underway.
This is of me and Allie. That's the day we testified.
The girls told jurors their father was an innocent man.
It was like a big deal because we were like the main, you know, witnesses or to help him.
By far the best piece of evidence against Bob was a garbled audio tape of two men planning Doris's murder.
Well, I still think you'll blow it away. You'll go out the front door and just blow it.
Oh, shoot her right there. That's up to you.
The prosecution claimed one of the voices was Bob's.
So that means you kill her and go.
But in the end, the jury thought the voices on the tape were too muffled to identify, and they could not be sure if one of them was Bob's.
That's the day he got acquitted. Yeah.
And the girls got their father back.
We have to be, like, incredibly thankful for what we have right now. You know, we have this great house. And this great dad, you know, who we can spend time with whenever we want.
Yeah, this is Allie. She doesn't throw like that anymore.
For the next few years, they settled into what you could call...
This is my boyfriend.
...normal teenage life.
That's not her boyfriend.
Hey, I need your keys to the car.
Okay.
I need money.
When you heard not guilty, did you think it was over?
Oh, absolutely.
But it was far from over.
I'd love to get him. Yeah, I'd love to have another shot at trying him again.
Lynn McClellan is the prosecutor who lost the state's case against Bob in 1998.
I'm totally shocked. This is totally contrary to what I thought the verdict was.
But he's still convinced that Bob Angleton is a guilty man.
I wonder why you just didn't say, we gave it our best shot, didn't work out, let's move on.
Because I didn't think the verdict was correct. You shouldn't get away with murder.
I thought this was done, you know? We all thought this was done.
But it wasn't. Bob Angleton was arrested for Doris's murder again.
Mr. Angleton was arrested outside his home this morning at approximately 10 a.m.
3.5 years after being acquitted of murder by the state of Texas, he was now facing a federal murder charge.
This is exactly the same crime.
Angleton's attorney, Mike Ramsey, said the new charges amounted to double jeopardy, trying someone twice for the same crime. That's unconstitutional.
And we shouldn't have two trials just because there's an acquittal and some sore DAs for getting beat.
Isn't that double jeopardy?
No. It's not double jeopardy when the feds try you for a state case. If they have a federal case that they can make, then they have the right to make that.
Bob's only consolation this time was...
Mr. Angleton, how are you feeling?
Pretty good.
He got out on bail.
What's next, Mr. Angleton?
I have to think about preparing myself and my family for the possibility that I will be in jail for the rest of my life. That's scary.
Must be something on your mind today, Mr. Angleton.
As his second trial approached, Bob prepared for the worst.
Okay, I know I got an A in 101, my acting class.
He went to visit his daughters who had started college that fall to say what he feared could be his final goodbye.
Your campus is really pretty.
I know.
It is.
Doesn't it?
You've said to them, what, if I may ask?
I may go away to jail for the rest of my life. That means when you need something, you can't call me for my advice. That means I don't exist.
Some people might ask why you just don't get up and leave.
I'm not allowed to. I'm not in a situation where I can make plans. The only plans that I have to make right now are in case I am found guilty. Because the minute that I am found guilty, I will have no time to make any plans.
When Angleton told me that back in 2003, he was being somewhat less than honest. In fact, Bob did have a plan, one that he'd been working on for more than a year. And then, just 4 days before the start of his second trial, Bob Angleton followed his plan and walked out of his Houston home for the very last time.
We couldn't find Bob. He didn't answer his phone.
And I started getting lots of calls from lawyers asking us if we knew anything.
At first, his attorney feared the worst.
You thought he might have killed himself.
Well, it's happened to me. I've had clients that killed themselves in the face of trial.
Angleton wrote about what he did next in a journal, which his daughters have read.
Going to jail for life is a for sure dead end, so this is the only choice.
But the choice Bob made did not involve leaving this world, just leaving the country. Armed with a fake passport, a fake driver's license, and a fake Social Security card, Bob Angleton had decided to become a fugitive.
I'm sorry we couldn't talk in person, but...
Angleton ended up far from home and had become very difficult for us to reach. But he was still eager to talk, even if it couldn't be face to face.
When you walked out of your house that day, what were you feeling when you closed the door behind you?
How did I feel? Scared, very unsure. Am I going to make this? Is this the right thing to do?
He says he decided to flee for the sake of his daughters.
I figured their best peace of mind would occur if I was safe. And that was the only idea that I could come up with, was to flee.
Imagine trying to prepare your life for the possibility that you'll never hold or hug your children, your friends, ever again.
You brought money with you?
Yeah, I had some in a suitcase that was checked and some in my carry-on.
How much?
To my recollection, it was like about $135,000.
It's a good thing they didn't lose your baggage.
That's correct. It's a good thing they did.
Bob and his money bags landed safely at his first destination, Amsterdam.
When you're walking down that hallway towards the airport exit,
my mind was still constantly racing as to whether this was the right thing to do or not.
Bob knew he had committed a crime by fleeing the country, but he didn't think he had a choice. Bob says he told federal prosecutors who'd killed his wife, but they were not listening.
I was given the impression by my lawyers that they were never going to let up. They were going to get me one way or the other.
If I was someone on the outside and heard about this guy who was supposed to hit trial, then he ran, and be like, wow, yeah, that's pretty guilty, you know, it looks really bad. But there is so much more to the story that nobody knows.
Including a confession letter. from the man who admitted he'd killed Doris Angleton as an act of revenge against Bob. It was a letter jurors were never allowed to see.
At what point did you start suspecting your brother?
Immediately.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy a car online. Really?
Why did Bob Angleton decide to become a fugitive? He'd been acquitted of murder in one trial, and as he faced a second trial, he had a powerful alibi. He wasn't anywhere near the crime scene, and he had an entire girls' softball team to prove it. The afternoon of April 16, 1997 started like any other. Doris Angleton dropped off her twin girls for an hour of softball practice before the start of the game. Bob was the team's coach. After the game, Bob drove the girls straight home.
As I pulled up into my spot, I noticed the back door was open. Now I was concerned.
I'm at my residence. Back door is ajar. My wife, to my best knowledge, was home. I'm getting no answer in the car, in the house. I have children with me in the car.
I'll get someone out there.
Police officers entered the home, then broke the news to Bob.
He came out, walked up to me, looked me in the eyes, and said, "Was your wife wearing a white shirt?" The message is clear. To me, it was clear.
Doris Angleton's body was found lying in the hallway next to the kitchen. She'd been shot 7 times in the face, 5 times in the chest.
I remember he didn't say anything. I started bursting out crying because I knew by his face that she was dead.
You see where somebody left their purse, where somebody set their keys down, just like she was stopped in mid-step.
Doris's brother, Steve McGowan, walked through the house the day after Doris was murdered.
Nothing was disturbed. No glass was broken on the door. There's no forced entry. The only reason anybody was in there was simply to kill my sister. Why? Show me a good reason why.
Everyone loved her. She was that person that, you know, everyone wished they were.
Before he fled to Amsterdam to avoid a second trial, he couldn't stop talking about his late wife.
I mean, she was a perfect wife, she was a perfect mother, she was a perfect lover, she was perfect in every way.
Especially when I think my husband, Bob, is here.
Every day we'd come home, we'd have perfect dinner set up for us. Always had everything we wanted. I mean, it was perfect.
The girls say their father had no reason to destroy all that.
The murder in Avalon Place remains the mystery. Police were called.
For Bob, there was no mystery. The night of the murder, he told police he knew who killed his wife, a man who'd been on the run since the day after Doris's murder. His name? Roger Angleton, Bob's brother. And Bob says his brother had a motive to hurt him and his family.
Well, my brother and I had a little bit of a history.
Bob says he and his brother had been rivals from the start. Bob was always the more successful son,
and Roger was jealous.
Roger said there was resentment, that I was the favored child. Looking back at it, I guess he was what you would consider a problem child.
And frequently, Roger was just goofy.
You remember him at all?
Yeah. He was really funny.
Funny?
Yeah. I don't really remember that much about him, but I remember he always made us laugh.
Roger was a clown. He really was a child that never grew up.
Roger couldn't hold a steady job while Bob was supporting a family in style, earning around $1 million a year.
I put it on the level of being a successful doctor or a successful lawyer.
But Bob wasn't a successful doctor or lawyer. Far from it.
There's no polite term for it?
There really isn't. It was an unusual job.
What term do you use to describe what you do?
Generally you just call yourself a bookie or bookmaker.
That's right. Bob Angleton was a bookie. He took bets on sporting events, which is illegal in Texas, but his business was booming and he realized he needed help. At the time, his brother Roger needed a job, so despite their troubled past, Bob hired him. It turned out to be a big mistake. Less than a year later, in the summer of 1990, Bob fired his brother. And that's when things started getting nasty.
He felt like I owed him some money.
Roger believed Bob had cheated him out of a lot of money, $200,000.
Months later, he showed up on Halloween dressed as a big bunny rabbit.
Were you glad to see
him? There was a method to his madness.
What was that?
To get in close with the family again. Little did I know that was his buildup to this extortion plot of his.
It almost worked. After winning back his brother's trust, Roger convinced Bob he'd scheduled a closing for him on a real estate deal. He told Bob to bring along $200,000 in cash and to meet him beforehand in this parking lot.
He's sitting in the back seat, eyes glazed, saying, "I want the money. Bob, I want the money."
Roger pointed a gun at him. Roger had a hard time keeping his mouth shut, and he told the whole story to his lawyer, Jim Skelton.
He planned to kill Bob unless Bob paid him. He's telling me about it.
Basically, what he had done was just try to rob me.
Bob was able to speed away without getting shot, and Roger did not get his money.
Well, that's, I think, was the moment that I realized that he was truly off the edge.
Roger wasn't about to give up. Bob says Roger knew another way to hurt him.
Remember how he put it?
Yeah, he'll put me out of business.
There is one agency that scared Bob to death, and Roger knew it. It is every bookie's nightmare, the IRS.
At first, I didn't take him seriously. Then he actually did make phone calls to customers posing as an IRS agent. And I quickly started losing customers.
Bob realized Roger could actually shut down his bookie business, so he finally agreed to start paying off Roger.
How much a month?
$2,500.
That worked for a while, but Bob says Roger demanded even more money. And in 1997, he made one more threat. Bob says he received a letter from Roger saying if he didn't get the money, quote, "I will hurt you in a way that will be with you for the rest of your life."
Looking back at it, yeah, of course I should have taken it seriously.
Bob says he ignored the letter, and 6 weeks later, Doris Angleton was dead.
Whoever walked through that door was getting blown away. That's what I think.
That's Bob's story. So why didn't police believe him? Because they started learning about him and his marriage.
She was ready to move on. And she filed for the divorce in February. And 2 months later, she was murdered.
Although investigators had little to tie Bob Angleton to the murder of his wife, they never took their eyes off him. And the more they dug up, the more they believed Bob had a few reasons to want his wife dead. For starters, Doris had filed for divorce just 2 months before she was murdered.
What was your reaction?
Shock, surprise. Because to me, I thought things were pretty good. And to her, obviously, she was seeing another side of it.
She wants a divorce, and she wanted to have her fair share of the estate.
According to Tom O'Connor, Doris's divorce attorney, she was about to become a very rich woman.
So altogether, I mean, he had millions to lose. I mean, are you comfortable saying that?
Yeah. Were you in a mood to give her half your money?
I hate to say that we were in a situation that was so comfortable it wouldn't have really made a difference. It irked me, but it didn't get me that angry.
But there was more. When Doris thought her husband might not pay her what she wanted, just like Roger, she threatened to expose Bob's multi-million dollar strictly cash bookie business to the Internal Revenue Service.
Is that a motive for murder?
No, and there is no motive for murder.
There's plenty of motives for murder.
There's not enough motive for murder. For anybody.
But police kept digging and found what they thought was one more potential motive.
Their marriage towards the end was not good, you know. She would stay on the internet most of the night in chat rooms and stuff.
Doris told her close friend and hairdresser, Larry West, that she was having an affair with a man she met online.
In fact, just a week before Doris's murder, she was in the salon and she was telling me about the boyfriend, and she had been to see him that prior weekend.
Bob says he never even knew about the affair.
I did not know about any boyfriend until after she was dead.
Go give mommy a hug.
Even with all that information, there still wasn't enough to tie Bob to his wife's murder. And Bob was still insisting to police that his brother was the killer. It took 2 months to find Roger, but police finally arrested him in Las Vegas. And that's when they found that audio tape in Roger's briefcase.
I still think you gotta blow it away. No, go out the front door and just blow it.
It was a conversation between two men planning Doris's murder.
Boom, boom, boom. And then, when she's down, I go up to her and finish.
Everyone thought the voice of the trigger man was Rogers, but it was the other voice that intrigued prosecutor Lynn McClellan.
No, I mean, he's a single living room.
When you first heard that tape, did you think, gotcha, gotcha, Bob?
Yeah.
McClellan was convinced it was Bob Angleton, the brains behind the operation, and the man who'd pointed police toward Roger in the first place.
You're waiting. She comes in. Right?
Yes.
You hit her.
Right.
So that means you kill her and go.
For McClellan, it wasn't just the speaker's voice that was convincing. It was the words he used.
What are you going to do with the dog?
I thought you decided you're going to put her in a little cage.
What other hitman worries about what you do with the dog? The owner of the dog, Bob Angleton.
I don't know if there's no cutting fingers off it.
You said don't put the dime.
I won't take the finger to take it down.
You're killing the woman. Why do we care if we cut her finger off or not? But Bob didn't want that. He didn't want that. Some hitman is not going to be telling Roger, okay, when she comes home, she always goes to the bathroom. How would he know?
The other motion detector points from the corner, and she faced the front of my house. So, if they're both armed, there's no way that you can go anywhere in my house.
He talks on the tape about my house. If you move in my cuss word house, you know, you're nailed.
Is that your voice on the tape?
No.
Because I have to tell you, I listened to the tape, and pardon me for saying this, but I thought it sounded like you. A lot like you. Frankly.
Well, you're wrong.
There is no explanation for the words on that tape coming from anybody else other than Bob Angleton.
It was all the police needed to arrest Bob Angleton for murder. And Lynn McClellan was prepared to offer his brother Roger, the trigger man, a very sweet deal.
A deal that could have resulted in him walking out the front door of the jail, a free man.
Yes.
All Roger had to do was testify against his brother Bob and describe their murder-for-hire plan.
I mean, did you expect this deal to be accepted?
Yes.
You expected Roger to say, you bet, I'll do this.
But what McClellan didn't know, and neither did Bob, was that there were even more secret audio tapes out there. Roger had already started talking, and the listener was all ears.
Before I knew it, I was sucked right in, and I really didn't feel like I had a choice. I tried to plot where bullets entered and exited.
When Vanessa Leggett heard about the high-profile case, she started visiting Roger Angleton in jail. At the time, she was just an aspiring true crime writer looking for a story. And this time, she got lucky. Very lucky.
Whose idea was it to kill Doris?
According to Roger, it was Bob's.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Roger Angleton loved to talk. And Vanessa Leggett, an aspiring true crime writer, loved to listen.
He wanted the truth to be known.
In January of 1998, Leggett visited Roger in jail and tape recorded about 50 hours of conversations.
Bob had asked him for some help on something, that he had a problem.
I knew he was dead serious.
How?
The way he acted.
Describe it.
He was calm and determined, focused, and he thought about it. He thought.
According to Roger, Bob wanted his wife dead, and he asked Roger for help.
Bob said he's having a problem with Doris, are the words that he used, and that he asked Roger to help him have her killed.
Roger confessed to Vanessa that he was the man who killed Doris.
He said that he came in through the front door at around 7 o'clock that evening, and he waited for her. When he felt she was really close, he said, I jumped out on 2 feet with both guns.
Here's what I remember. I think I shot 2 or 3 times or 4 times. Then he finished her off.
And she died immediately, and he wanted her to die immediately.
Roger said the brothers had made a deal. Bob would pay him to kill Doris, disappear, and keep quiet forever.
Roger asked Bob to give him 24 hours to get out of town.
Remember when Bob went to the police after the murder and told them Roger killed his wife?
What was going through his mind? Rage?
Roger said that, too, was all just part of the plan.
So Roger wrote out letters that were threatening to Bob, saying, you owe me money. If you don't, I'm going to hurt you or someone you love. Pay up.
Roger Angleton confided the same story to his attorney, Jim Skelton.
The fee was for $1 million. I think that was it. It was supposed to be $100,000 down and $100,000 every year for 10 years.
But their elaborate plan unraveled, Roger said, when he got arrested in Las Vegas and police found that audio tape in his briefcase. Roger told Leggett that he recorded his brother helping him plan the murder in case he ever needed the tape to use against him. Skelton believes the tape was Roger's insurance policy.
He kept a lot of incriminating evidence on the murder he could later use to blackmail Bob if Bob didn't pay him the money.
Did you hire your brother to kill your wife?
No.
Did you ever talk about it?
No.
Bob says there never was a plan. His theory is that Roger wanted to destroy him, and so Roger not only killed Doris, he also tried to frame Bob as his accomplice by making a fake audio tape.
You think he wrote out a script, or?
Who's to say what my brother did? My brother always was a volatile, crazy sort of person.
Well, how could he have gotten somebody to say all that stuff?
Roger could have gotten anybody to do anything.
Each brother was pointing the finger at the other. According to Bob, the whole murder-for-hire story was part of an elaborate lie dreamed up by Roger to incriminate Bob.
If I was going to hire somebody to do something, why would I hire a person that had been extorting me?
Because it would give him a motive, and it would divert attention away from you, and here was a guy who wanted to hurt you, so he killed your wife. It made a good story. Good cover.
If they want to convict me, if they want to find me guilty, they have to have a theory of why I did it. To me, it makes no sense.
Back in 1998, when that first trial began, the state of Texas thought it had a decent case against Bob, especially with that audio tape from Roger's briefcase.
You're waiting. She comes in, right?
Yes.
You hit her.
Right.
Prosecutor Lynn McClellan had no idea what was about to hit him. McClellan was about to offer Roger the plea deal, testify against Bob, and get out of jail. But Roger chose a different way out.
He committed suicide the day before we were supposed to meet.
Roger Angleton shocked everyone when he committed suicide in his jail cell by cutting himself more than 50 times with a razor. But what he left behind was an even bigger surprise, and this one could change everything. Roger left a suicide note that said he killed Doris on his own, Bob was not involved, and the murder was exactly what Bob had been saying it was all along, an act of revenge. The note read in part, "I began an elaborate plan to frame Robert for Doris's death as further leverage to get my money. He is innocent."
He did tell me that he had planned to kill himself to save his brother.
Vanessa believes, as strange as it sounds, Roger killed himself and left that note because he'd promised his brother he'd take the rap for killing Doris.
He even showed me this letter over a week before he ended up dead and told me that he had to do this to help his brother so that hopefully his brother would get off.
You have to be worried about those notes going into trial.
Right.
Here's a guy saying, "I did it all."
Although the prosecutor's star witness had flipped sides on him and killed himself, in the end, it didn't really matter. McClellan convinced the judge that Roger's suicide note was hearsay and therefore inadmissible.
So you're confident that the jury is going to convict him?
Well, I think in worst case scenario, we have hung jury.
Going into trial, McClellan was left with that audio tape found in Roger's briefcase as the best evidence against Bob. He hired an audio expert who once worked for the FBI.
But it's very clear, these are capital letters.
To identify Bob's voice.
The structure of these voice bars, their characteristics, are different, consistently different.
Steve Kane spent hours analyzing the tape.
I expect him to say that it was either I can't tell, or that it's Bob's voice.
So what happened?
And I called him up and he said, "I've got some bad news for you."
"I am very confident that it is not Robert Angleton's voice that is on this tape."
So what happens in the heart of a prosecutor when he hears those words?
Kind of drops to the bottom of your feet.
Kane had no idea whose voice it was, but that didn't matter to Bob's defense attorney, Mike Ramsey.
Truth of it is, it was a godsend. I mean, how can you have a better piece of evidence fall in your lap? It's a lawyer's dream.
Bob Angleton's dreams were about to come true. After listening to that tape over and over again, the jury acquitted him, and the state of Texas had to set him free.
Can't get much happier than I feel right now.
But federal prosecutors were now determined to get him. 3.5 years later, they did.
The first two counts of this indictment.
And they planned to use evidence the state never used, the Vanessa Leggett tapes, the ones where Roger Angleton tells her all about the murder-for-hire plan laid out by the two brothers. Facing a second trial, Bob Angleton saw only one way out. Run.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on the J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The prosecution claimed the defendant is a risk to flee.
Bob Angleton boarded a plane in Texas to leave his past behind, even though he had no specific plans for his future.
What was the plan? How are you going to live?
Hell of a question. I wasn't that well prepared. I would be able to subsist at least for 6 months to a year, and then in turn find myself some type of employment.
But just after he arrived in Amsterdam, Bob learned he wouldn't have to plan that far ahead.
As soon as I walked up to the immigration or passport agent, when he put his hands on the passport, I knew right then and there I was done.
The fake passport he was using looked a little too fake.
He started rubbing at it, looking at it. I think in my mind I was thinking, should I turn around and run? No, that's not smart.
Bob was taken into custody by Dutch officials after just 24 hours on the run.
You were surprised when you heard that he had fled?
I was angry, disappointed, and somewhat surprised. I didn't expect him to run.
Stan Schneider was the only attorney on Bob's defense team who agreed to keep representing him after he fled the country.
Did you blame him for running?
Probably not. I thought that we had a chance of winning, but the pressure of another trial, who knows what a jury would do.
The United States immediately asked the Dutch government to extradite Bob back home, and his Dutch lawyers didn't have much hope.
They said the United States never loses. They always win. Every case, they always win. And I was preparing Bob for the worst.
Angleton's lawyers argued an international treaty signed by the U.S. protects against double jeopardy and prohibits the Dutch government from sending Bob back to Houston to face murder charges a second time. Not only did this court agree, so did the prosecutor. So Bob the bookie beat the odds and won big. The Dutch government refused to extradite him for murder.
So did you start seeing Bob living his life in Amsterdam amidst the tulips?
No.
Bob might not have to face murder charges, but he was not about to go free. The Dutch courts finally did agree to extradite him, but not before the U.S. agreed to prosecute him only on new charges of passport and tax fraud.
Beats the heck out of murder, doesn't it?
Sure does.
In September of 2004, Bob was brought back to the U.S. He pled guilty to passport and tax fraud, and was sentenced to 12 years in federal prison.
This is your second time to see Dad.
The only good news for Bob's daughters, who are now living in California, is that Bob was moved to a prison nearby. To this day, Nikki and Allie say they still believe their father is innocent.
It's just like me and Nikki and our dad, so.
That's what we consider our family.
That's our family, so, I mean, anytime that we can see him, we go see him.
Yeah. We owe that to him.
We do.
Look, those kids have been through hell. And they need the contact with me. It's really important.
We've been talking to Bob by phone from his prison cell this whole time. With the Dutch court ruling that he could not be tried for Doris's murder again, we asked Bob that one all-important question one last time.
Did you hire Roger to kill Doris?
No.
Did you hire anybody to kill Doris?
No.
And you say that now, even though you have that Dutch ruling in your hands.
Well, the ruling doesn't make a difference. The truth is only the only thing that really counts.
While Bob spends his time behind bars, federal prosecutors are likely to spend their time trying to figure out a way around the Dutch court ruling and prosecute him again for Doris's murder. And even the bookie's lawyers are betting they will.
Your best guess, will Bob Angleton ever be a free man again?
Probably not. If you put the numbers to it.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
The odds are against the bookie.
It's a long shot.
But Angleton's daughters, Nikki and Allie, are still betting that their father will one day be free again.
Do you think he'll be around for you? I mean, that he'll be able to come to your weddings?
Oh, yeah. He will.
We're going to have to arrange that to around his schedule.
Well, I'm not getting married for a long time, so.
Yeah, we're just going to put it off for a while.
You'd wait 12 years or however long?
Yeah. For sure. There's no way. There's no way I would get married without him there. It'll all work out. It'll all work out.
Robert Angleton was released from prison in 2012.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I've become way more conscious about the products I use every single day, especially products that sit on my skin for hours. What I appreciate about Primally Pure is that their philosophy is really rooted in fewer, better ingredients and formulas that support healthy skin instead of covering it up. Their Sun Serum Tinted SPF gives mineral SPF 30 protection with this beautiful skin-like finish. And their lip and cheek tint adds the perfect natural flush while still feeling nourishing and lightweight. It's very much that less but better approach to beauty that I feel like so many people are gravitating toward right now. So, if you're trying to be more intentional about your beauty routine and ingredients, I definitely recommend checking them out.